So today we have a more somber episode. It's not, we're not going to have our usual fun, but it's going to be a really good episode, I think, still.
Yeah, I just think that, you know, we decided to do this last minute because we felt that we needed to do what Charlie Kirk would do and have open discussion and let freedom of speech reign in this country about his horrific assassination that took place yesterday. And it has rocked this nation, rocked the world, and there's just a lot to talk about.
Yeah, and I think I'm heartened by some of the reaction that I've seen, especially from both sides as far as like influencers, politicians, media people, saying that, hey, violence is never justified, especially for practicing free speech. But I have seen a lot of responses from people, not within the media, just regular people, somewhat, you know, almost gleeful about what happened yesterday.
Yeah, the whole thing makes me really sick. And I just want to kind of say a quick message of what I'm really feeling on my heart is that what happened to Charlie Kirk is an act of evil. And evil wants us divided. Evil loves chaos. And so when we are divided, which you're seeing people react on both sides against each other, and you have people like Elon Musk and Andrew Tate saying fight, people are trying to almost incite civil unrest and civil war. And that is what evil wants. And when we are divided, we are powerless. And we need to remember that. When we are divided, we cannot come together and hold our governments around the world accountable for the things that really matter to us, like peace on earth, clean air, clean water, clean food, stop funding wars around the world, getting the Epstein list. And so I think everybody is angry and upset, but we need to just take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And we can't allow this evil to rage bait our population into perpetuating more evil and hate. We need to come together. I believe we're in a spiritual war, and this is good versus evil, and all the good people need to unite and be the light that stands in the way of darkness.
Yeah, 100%, because what I've seen from some of the comments, all I posted, because yesterday I really wanted to take time off of making content. I didn't want to throw another take out into the world. There were, I think, too many takes already yesterday with not enough information out there. And people were just already, you can see like the temperature rising as the day progressed. And so all I wanted to put out there was just like, hey, violence is not the answer.
Right.
And, you know, I got a lot of responses. I got some unfollows. And the message that I want to say that is that, you know, I understand people's gut feeling reaction to somebody dying, because we all have different people that we like, we don't like, right? I remember when the CEO, Brian Thompson, died, I didn't feel particularly bad. So I had to reflect, okay, why did I not feel particularly bad about that death? That is still a human being dying.
And then for people that don't know, that's who Luigi Mangione assassinated.
The United Healthcare CEO. And so I'm not going to go out there and tone police people and say, hey, you're not allowed to feel a certain way. We all have our emotions. We all have our biases. But then we have to reflect on what that means. Is that like, if you start to justify violence, right? Because I've seen a lot of people say, hey, Charlie Kirk, he was a horrible human being. He spewed misogyny and racism out into the world. So now we're in a better place because he's no longer with us, right? So you're basically saying that there's some violence that's justified. And what I want to reflect for a lot of my followers out there is that this is the exact same argument that Israel uses to dehumanize Palestinians, to say, hey, some level of violence is okay because of the greater good. And what we start to see, if you start justifying everything like that, then we're just going to see more violence, more chaos, more destruction versus what you just talked about, peace, prosperity, right? If you start to do these things that say, hey, I'm okay with some violence, that's very, I think that's a path that can only lead to sort of the unraveling of society.
Yeah. And I think that we need to all be very smart in the way that we move forward, because today is the anniversary of 9/11. Today is September 11th. And in 2001, there was a terror attack, another act of evil against the American people. And what did the government do after that? They signed the Patriot Act. I could see a situation where this government, who is very buddy-buddy with Peter Thiel, uses this as a reason to usher in a surveillance state. And that will be possible if we are all divided over politics, over all of this bullshit that really doesn't matter at the end of the day. So we need to be very careful the way that we move forward. And, you know, people are listening to the Elon Musks of the world saying, fight. Do not be fooled. He is not one of us, right? He is a grasshopper, not an ant. We, the people, are the ants. And the only way that we're going to have power over the hoppers of the world is if we unite. So we need to keep that in mind. And I don't see a lot of people saying that. I think people get so worked up and they're so angry and they're so upset. They want somebody to blame. And so we'll get into who might be responsible for this. But the reality is, whoever or whatever is responsible for this, it is an act of evil. And Charlie Kirk was a Christian. Charlie Kirk was a man of God. And there's going to be a lot of people that feel that, you know, they need to defend Charlie Kirk's honor. But Charlie Kirk would look at the scripture, and the scripture says in the Bible, do not return evil with evil or anger with anger. Let God carry out the wrath. And so, again, I think we need to just take a step back and make sure that we're taking this opportunity not to let it fuel us to, you know, perpetuate any sort of evil, but to hug our family members, hug our neighbors, and have those open conversations, maybe with people that we don't agree with. Like Charlie Kirk really started that whole movement. And hear one another out, you know?
Yeah. And we're going to get into all of that in terms of like the assassination itself, what we know about it, some of the reactions on the internet, some of the theories that are thrown out. And we're going to try to do it in a respectful way, right? This is,
yeah.
I think people deserve to know the information because I think there is a lot of information being put out there right now to divide people, whether 100%. It be from influencers or even the mainstream media. You know, some of the things that they're saying now, which we can get into in a second, I find to be quite ludicrous and unbelievable, almost like it was written as a script to divide us.
100%. And I have to say that, you know, I was not happy with President Trump's speech yesterday. Yes, I thought it was great that he honored Charlie Kirk and what he stood for. But the rhetoric that we need to, you know, go after lefty lunatics, we don't know who assassinated Charlie Kirk. That is not good for this country. We need the message of unity, which is what I'm trying to push, that despite our differences, at the end of the day, we all want the same things. And we need to unite as a country and as a world, really.
Yeah. And I just want to read some of the responses that are being thrown out there right now. This is C13 here. Like libs of TikTok saying, this is war. Elon Musk, the left is the party of murder. Ron Filipkowski, Trump issues statement after Kirk's death, blaming rhetoric on the radical left. Gunther Eagleman, they've declared war, on and on and on. So they're saying, hey, they, who is they? That is the question, right? We have no answer. This is clearly like, I think to everybody who saw the gruesome video, this is like a public execution that just happened yesterday.
And it was done by a professional.
Right. And this is somebody trying to send a message. But what is that message? We need to wait for the evidence, and we're going to present the evidence to say, hey, what are they trying to do with this, right? Is it about Israel, we'll get into, or is it about vilifying left extremists, or is it about ushering in a police state, like you just said? I think we need to look at the evidence before we throw that out there, because I think yesterday, a lot of people were just blaming people on all different kinds of sides, and that is not helpful. That's just basically they already had a narrative in mind and they're just going to push it. They're using this event to push whatever narrative they want to divide us, right? They didn't present any evidence. They just say, hey, they declared war. Who declared war? We didn't even know. The FBI couldn't even catch the guy.
And I think it's very weird that Kash Patel, with the second arrest made, right? They arrested that old guy.
Right.
We saw him dragged out. Everybody said, this is the guy, right? And they pulled up some weird, you know, pictures of him as a guy with a pregnant belly holding dolls. And they said, he's a registered Democrat, right? And then they said, oh, that's not the guy, you know, but he was acting like he was a patsy. He was acting like he was the guy, right?
Right. Then, so this is, yeah, sorry.
Then they arrest another guy. And Kash Patel says, we found him.
Yeah.
Right? And then and calls off the manhunt. And then they release him hours later.
Right. This is clearly a coordinated professional hit because you exactly. have patsies in the crowd distracting authorities where the real guy is getting away.
100%.
Okay? Because there was, I mean, there was an airport, and this is element C-11 here, right? This is the airport radar showing that, I don't know if that is linked wrong. It's not showing up. But basically, they didn't close down the airport. There was plenty of time for planes to be circling around. There was one particular private jet mm-hmm. that turned off their transponder, right?
Yes.
And which is, by the way, it's a federal crime to do that. And so whatever that's going on there, that should be investigated.
100%. Look, this was a professional job. And...
Right. Did you see the video... This is element D11. Did you see the video where the guy was gesturing in the background?
The hand signals.
The hand signals.
Okay, so I grew up playing softball.
Yeah.
My dad was a baseball player. And, right, it looked like the third base coach telling you whether or not you need to steal. Right. The hat, the ear, the chest, yeah. the this, the that. What the fuck is that? What is going on? There is a lot of weird stuff here.
Yeah.
Some of it has been debunked. Like there were people that were saying, why did Charlie Kirk's ring move yeah. from one finger to the next? Well,
but he has
that's
been
debunked. Yeah. It's a clasp and yeah. it opened and it closed. Okay. So there is going to be conspiracy theories. There's going to be a lot of misinformation about this, but I think that that is very strange.
Yeah. And what they're telling us now, so this is as of the latest information that we know, this is published by the Wall Street Journal. They're saying that this morning, investigators found ammunition engraved with expressions of transgender and anti-fascist ideology inside the rifle that authorities believe was used in the fatal shooting of Charlie Kirk.
So I told you yesterday, before Charlie Kirk had died, that watch them say this was a trans shooter. They'll find him. They'll kill him. Right? We never get a live body with this stuff. They always end up dead. And then a manifesto will come out. Right? And then now here we are less than 24 hours later. And now all of a sudden it's being alluded to that this is a trans shooter. And that, you know, when you look at what Charlie Kirk was talking about, it was right after he had made a statement about the trans community. What trans, and they're also saying now, right, that he's a college age student.
Yeah,
they have video of this. They're painting a narrative that they want you to believe.
Yeah,
in my opinion, and I'm just not going to fall for it.
Yeah, and there's now photos released by the FBI saying that this is a guy that you know, they're looking for this guy with his hat on, and it seems like a college age guy. They're saying we need to help find this person.
How many times are we going to have engraved bullets this year? It's fucking insane. Like. It's a show. It feels like a show.
Right. Well, who would be doing that? And also, they made a perfect getaway and they just leave the gun behind to be found? Is that, that to me is a little bit bizarre, right? And I think people are waking up. There are some people in the media that's like, hey, this doesn't seem right, right? Roger Stone, he said that Charlie Kirk was killed by a skilled shooter in a professional hit, either by a nation state, rogue elements of our own government, or a terrorist organization. I think there is some credibility to that allegation.
I think that is much more likely. I don't know, you know, a college age student that is going to coordinate an elaborate hit job and have patsies in the crowd to take the arrest. It just, there's a lot of things that don't line up.
No, not at all. And some people, we can just, you know, there's some people that say, hey, maybe this is the deep state, right? This is a distraction from Epstein. This is Trump, you know, kind of killing his own guy to save himself. I don't think that's true. There's some people say there's some people posting that this is a MAGA sacrifice, right? How that they've convinced that it was a good idea to sacrifice Charlie Kirk in order to save Trump from the Epstein files. It doesn't seem like plausible. This theory doesn't seem plausible because we're going to go through a few theories right now.
Yeah.
And I know it's somewhat too soon to do something like this, but
I think that like I said, it was an act of evil, and evil wants chaos and evil wants division, and so do the global elites.
Yeah.
So do certain organizations, right? They don't want the people united because they want to control the people.
Yeah.
And so I do believe this was a professional hit job, and I do believe that they want the United States in utter chaos.
Absolutely. Let's play the PBD clip real quick, because I think he was on Chris Cuomo's show yesterday.
What's at the top of the list of your concerns in terms of who did it and why?
So let's process that. Let's look at all the options of who this could be. One, somebody who was just upset after the last 48 hours of what happened, all the divisiveness of the shooting, of the murder of Irina, the Ukrainian young lady. And so somebody may have said, you know what, screw you, Charlie, you've been going too tough, and came and took him out. Okay, that's one. Number two, it could be somebody that has been plotting to take out Charlie for a couple years, and he's been planning for this because he's the opposing side. Okay, great. Number three, it could be a controlled opposition of somebody that's been funding it for this to happen, and they were trying to fund their patsy. Great. Number four, it could be in the next few days, Chris, if in the next few days an opposing Charlie Kirk figure, I won't give names because I don't even want to put those names out there. If in the next week an opposing person from the left gets assassinated, you have to know this is happening from an outside source, a different country that wants to see America have a civil war. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a key point that we need to continue to stay vigilant on, because they're putting out all these messages on Twitter, on social media, to say this side did it. We're at war. We need to now arm ourselves and get ready for battle. And this is exactly what foreign governments, we'll get into some of them,
right,
they would want to happen,
right,
here,
right,
an American Civil War.
I mean, and you just had, right, some people might say that, you know, the Chinese military parade, you had Xi Jinping and Putin and Kim Jong-un, right, all together,
mm-hmm,
with Modi. People might say, oh, maybe they all conspired to do this, right?
Yeah.
And then you have other people saying that it's Israel.
Yeah.
You have people, you know, pointing the finger all over the place. And to me, I just want to reiterate this, because I just feel like it can't be said enough. Charlie Kirk was a father. Charlie Kirk was a husband. Charlie Kirk was a son. And no matter if you liked him or you didn't like him, we need to have empathy and compassion in this country and say that it is never okay for someone to lose their life. And this guy was somebody who was connecting to the youth. He was going out and he was having conversations that had differing opinions from him. And, you know, when you look at all of the major assassinations throughout history, JFK, RFK, MLK, you know, they weren't just silenced because they had a movement behind them. And Charlie Kirk also had a movement behind him. I think he was a threat to the future.
Yeah, because all those figures that you named, yes, they had their ideology and they believed in it, but they also believed in reaching to the other side, to people,
yes,
they disagreed with. They had, I mean, MLK, whatever faults he had conversations with the other side. He
100%.
Wanted to draw a circle and create a bigger circle to include all the rest of the people who didn't disagree with him. He said, hey, we're all in this together.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people that think that Charlie Kirk could have been a future president.
I mean, if you look at just the movement that he built, right, from the time he was 18 years old to now, you know, running Turning Point, which is not just a media organization, but it is a grassroots turnout the vote
movement
operation.
Yeah.
Right. So he definitely had a chance to challenge and maybe become that next movement for the Republican Party. And that is a definite threat to the current establishment, because I can see Charlie over the last few months sort of taking new information and have his mind shift a little bit. Right. Especially on the topic of Israel. Right. He was,
yes,
saying, hey, I am a supporter of Israel, but it shouldn't be taboo to question some of these things.
Right.
Right. So this is like, we'll get into the Israel theory right now. Right. This is sort of the bullet checkpoint that people are saying, that he used to be an Israeli loyalist. Right. Then he starts to sort of mildly criticize Israel, and that, hey, I don't think, you know, we shouldn't be allowed as an American to question the acts of a foreign government. He also went on the PBD podcast and he publicly stated, hey, maybe Epstein was Mossad. He certainly had a lot of connections to Israeli ex-prime ministers. So that shouldn't be out of the realm of possibility. And we should be able to say, hey, maybe we should investigate this, right? He also let anti-Zionists like Dave Smith speak at Turning Point events. He's like, hey, well, we welcome the conversation. You know, I might not agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to let you have time and I'm going to let you debate a pro-Zionist figure. And we're going to hash out what maybe the truth is or what the solution is for the conflict. And then you started to see like attacks made against him from the Zionist media. He was even talking about this with Megyn Kelly, where the Israel Times basically saying, hey, Charlie, you're out of bounds. This is across the line. This is anti-Semitic, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then in terms of getting to the actual evidence itself, right, it was, people were pointing this out yesterday. It was quite bizarre that Netanyahu was tweeting about Charlie Kirk's death before Trump.
Mm.
How did he know about it?
Yeah, I mean, it's very interesting. And, you know, everything you talk about with Charlie Kirk, he really was just such an advocate for freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And that is something that is really important and near and dear to my heart, especially being a woman and it not being lost on me that I would not have my voice if I was born in another country. And also just the reality that I'm a content creator and I'm mm-hmm. a talking head and I'm not allowed to say what I want yeah. on many social media platforms. And there's not one social media platform. People say X is freedom of speech. There are people censored on X. There are people yeah. censored on Instagram. And so a lot of people could look at this as, look, he was being censored in the most brutal, horrific way.
Yes.
They censored somebody who was, you know, a leader of freedom of speech. But if it went against the narrative,
yeah.
you're not allowed to have it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you saw the post from Harrison Smith that he that basically somebody very close to Charlie Kirk put out there
mm.
that.
He Let's pull that up.
Israel, this is element C-19. But this is basically a very close friend of Charlie Kirk's put out there. Charlie didn't want to put out this tweet himself. This is the story that I've heard from sources, is that he didn't want to put this out there himself, but he told a friend to put it out on the internet and said, hey, if I go against Israel, I think they will kill me.
And when did he say this?
This was on August 13th. This tweet.
So less than a month ago.
Less than a month ago, this was put out there. And maybe we can play the clip. There's about a 3-minute clip with Megyn Kelly of like them just having an open discussion of what they can and can't criticize.
Yeah.
But right before I play that,
yeah.
I do want to say that this is a source that I trust very much. And they were having dinner with people, senators in the Senate Foreign Intelligence Committee last night. And there were discussions being had in private. And a lot of them feel that it was Israel. And this is coming from the top levels of government in the United States. They are not openly saying this at this point.
Of course not.
But in private conversation, they're saying, hey, this looks like potentially Israel is behind this.
Wow.
So let's play the clip from more Megyn Kelly here.
The behavior by a lot, both privately and publicly, are pushing people like you and me away. Not like we're going to be pro-Hamas. Not no. like we're going to, but we're like, honestly, the way you are treating me is so repulsive. I have text messages, Megyn, calling me an anti-Semite. I am That's learning ridiculous. Biblical Hebrew and writing a book on the Shabbat. I honor the Shabbat, literally the Jewish Sabbath. I visit Israel and fight for it. And there's another article out in the Times of Israel today. I could read it on air. I was just reading before I got on. Charlie, what are you doing? Like, why are you, what am I doing? I'm sorry. Like, let's just take a step back here. Like, I'm an American citizen. Yes, I want Israel to win. Yes, I'm a Christian. But, like, some of the mess, and you saw, I mean, you've seen how I've been treated, Megyn, by some, not all, by some.
No, it's very irritating.
It's
been so
as if,
unfair. They were coming after you after a turning point for, among other things, so that you had Dave Smith there. Dave Smith is allowed to criticize Israel. You had both sides. The Israeli side was
overrepresented.
You're
not allowed to, though. No, you're not allowed to. It's even worse than that. Again, I just want to repeat for the fifth time, I love Israel. I want Israel to win. But my moral character is now being put into question, Megyn. Not my decisions, not like, hey, are you doing this? Is it smart or is it dumb? But no, I am a bad person if I do this. And it's, I could go, I mean, you saw it, Megan, it was trending on Twitter, thousands of tweets and text messages. And if I were to be charitable and generous, I will say the people that are attacking me are in a hyper paranoid state because they're at war, and war tends to make things black and white, and you're a hammer looking for a nail. So I'm trying to be charitable, Megan. Literally, I'm trying to cut as much slack as I can, right? Like, okay, what would it be like if all of a sudden I'm starting to see a pattern of behavior similar to what my grandparents saw in 1930s Germany online? How would I behave? So that's like my charitable kind of overcompensation spirit. At the same time, I'm like, but it's not defensible to be dumb. Right.
Yeah. So, and it's offensive. And it's offensive to those of us who have been out there defending them in many instances against critics on our own side. And now you have a couple of comments like, well, what about this? Well, has it gone on too long? Like, is it time to wrap it up? And the thing about Epstein is just so bizarre. I don't know who he was an agent for. It might have been Israel or an asset, or it might have been nobody. Yeah. But we're allowed to speculate about that. It's you can't go there when it comes to Israel.
Well, you and I believe that we're Americans and Americans first, period. End of story. We are citizens of this nation, okay?
That's right.
Israel, we have funded, we have supported, and they're up against a sea of Islamic totalitarianism, and we should be cheering for them, right? Because they're up against barbarians and monsters, and we want them to win. However, here is Megyn Kelly and Charlie Kirk combined, probably 30 million social media followers, like pretty, right? And you and I have been holding this down, and you probably get the negative, oh, you're just shilling for Israel, whatever. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do what's right regardless of the feedback, right? But then all of a sudden, like, I host a person that I moderate the debate of, mind you,
right?
And I give equal time to Josh Hammer, equal time to a pro-Israel advocate, and my moral character is being put into question. And so I think it's a hyper paranoid, like, we're just going to try to, we're going to just stamp out everything type of practice. But it goes to the point where if, for example, if I have less ability sometimes online to criticize the Israeli government about backlash than actual Israelis do. Mm-hmm. And that's really, really weird, isn't it, Megan?
Yeah. What's your reaction to that?
I think that it is really weird. And it goes back to what I was talking about with freedom of speech. There are limits to what we are allowed to talk about. And Charlie was a huge advocate for freedom of speech, and he was super influential with the youth. Mm-hmm. So I can totally see how people would listen to this interview, how they would listen to him talk about how he thinks, you know, it's reasonable to believe that Jeffrey Epstein worked for Mossad. And then there's also this clip where he questions how October 7th happened.
Here, I'll play that. Oh, account suspended.
It's really weird because we've had several clips just kind of
disappear
in the last 24 hours. Let's see if we can find this.
But while you're looking for it, I just want to read out the exact tweet that I was referencing earlier from August. He said, they would, if Charlie turned heel on Israel, they would have someone shoot him at an open air event, and they have some idiot groiper with a genetically anomalous issue there to be a patsy / fall guy. Part of why you never make the deal with the devil in the first place. This was posted in August.
Yeah. I found this clip. Should I play it?
Play it.
I've been to Israel many times. The whole country's a fortress. When I first heard this story, I still have the same gut instinct that I did initially. I find this very hard to believe. I've been to that Gaza border. You cannot go 10 feet without running into a 19-year-old with an AR-15 or an automatic machine gun that is an IDF soldier. Right? The whole country is surveilled. And so let me just kind of go through this. We don't talk about Israeli politics very often, and most Americans don't know this. The last 9 months, Israel was on the brink of civil war. It's not an exaggeration. This judicial stuff, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelis taking to the streets because Bibi Netanyahu was basically redefining the Israeli constitution. That's not an exaggeration, right? He said the judicial branch has too much power. There were protests planned this week against Netanyahu where they anticipated tens of thousands of people to take to the streets. That's all gone, Patrick. Netanyahu now has an emergency government and a mandate to lead. I'm not willing to say, to go so far that saying that Netanyahu knew or there was intelligence here, but I think some questions need to be asked. Was there a stand down order? Was there a stand down order? 6 hours? I don't believe it. Israel's the size of New Jersey. When I took a helicopter ride from Jerusalem to the Gaza border, it's 45 minutes. 6 hours. They're live streaming the killing of Jews. Did somebody in the government say stand down? That is a legitimate non-conspiracy question. The whole country is the IDF. The whole country is.
Yeah.
And you're trying to tell me that they're going to concerts and kibbutzes and schools and by report.
So what do you think of that?
That, I mean, this is a big problem for Israel. It's a big problem to have. I mean, Charlie Kirk was maybe the most influential figure on the right, especially with people under the age of 30.
Yes.
This is a big problem because because Israel at this point has already lost the left. Okay, it's gone. I think 80 to 90% of Democrats do not support Israel anymore. The right is still holding firm in a lot of demographics, especially among the older, but they're starting to lose the young right because we're seeing our government neglect U.S. citizens, what's happening here in America with crime, with homelessness, with, you know, the health epidemic. We're seeing problems with roads and bridges collapsing. And then our government all of a sudden, okay, we're going to send $60 billion to Israel. This is a problem because it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. And when you start to have somebody that influential as a conservative is say, hey, we need to maybe reassess this relationship. There's something weird going on. They can't have that happen. And so what I've heard a lot of just kind of behind the scenes people talking is that this is a warning to people in the media to say, hey, you need to stop this right now because you could be next.
Yeah, and I think also I want to play this clip of something that Charlie Kirk said recently on Tucker Carlson about what causes political radicalism and how really his passion moving forward was to figure out how we can really bring people together and de-radicalize the youth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. And that's also something that whether you call it the deep state or the global elites, or if you just say evil, they don't want that de-radicalization because that, again, unites the public, that unites the people. And when the people are united, we have the power. So listen to this.
Political radicalism needs a catalyst. Political radicalism does not come out of peace, prosperity, rising wages, stable families, church attendance, and happy people. Happy people, grateful people, do not get behind Vladimir Lenin, and they certainly don't get behind Chavez or Castro.
That's right.
People that own nothing, that feel like their property is diminishing, they don't have property, or their dollar is diminishing in value, they start to look for alternatives. And so the political project in front of us as conservatives should be, how do we actually de-radicalize the country in the next couple of years? That's my obsession. And that's why I say I try not to think about all this other stuff because it just, you know, it's such brain space. My number one obsession is I know what is coming next.
Yes, that is absolutely 100% true, right? You don't get this radicalism on its own if people are doing well, right? I always say this about the January 6th insurrection or whatever they call it, is that, hey, if you're doing well, you're probably not going out to the Capitol and storming the Capitol. You're like, hey, I'm gonna have a good day. I'm gonna have a barbecue today. I'm gonna hang out with my friends, have a couple beers, you know, if things are going well. But it's only when they start to feel like, hey, I have no opportunity in this country. And and it's true for people under the age of 30, I think people, especially the conservatives, are like, yeah, young people are a big problem. But then I think you have to acknowledge and look into why are they feeling this way, right? In the last 20 or 30 years, you can make an argument that America has not been good to young people. They've gotten nothing from their country, right? They've gotten none of the public service that should be demanded of taxpayers, or that taxpayers should demand. They've gotten, you know, or they don't have the ability
to
buy homes.
They're putting pizzas on Klarna.
You're
having to put pizza on layaway. Like, that is a problem. And
you can't buy a house.
No.
Full-time job you could barely make.
The American dream is slipping away. And Charlie Kirk was so, he had his finger on the pulse with the young people. He told in this interview, he told Tucker Carlson about Klarna.
Yeah.
Tucker Carlson wasn't even aware of what Klarna was.
Yeah.
That people are financing their groceries in this country.
Yeah.
And so to your point, I don't think people in this country would be so focused on the United States giving money to Israel or Ukraine either if they were taken care of and the American dream was alive and well, right?
Absolutely. And I think this is where I think Democrats are to legitimately to be blamed in some of these situations, both Republicans and Democrats, is that they put so much energy on culture, right? I mean, you can argue that Charlie Kirk in a lot of ways was a culture warrior.
100%.
Right? And that's to get people to start arguing about stuff. But I think in more recent months and maybe in the last year or so, I think Charlie has, in my view, like I've seen him shift. He's injected more of that class conversation into the discourse, which is really bad for if you want to maintain the two-party system, is that when you start getting people united on certain things, they can't as easily divide people because we realize, oh, we have a lot more in common. So that becomes a problem. I think that we've seen that shift with Tucker Carlson as well, right? He went from being a culture warrior to now covering things that are, I think, nonpartisan, that everybody should care about, that are issues that should unite everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, people...
So they're taught to hate Charlie. Like so many, I've seen a few clips from people going on college campuses yesterday and interviewing people. Hey, by the way, Charlie Kirk was just shot and killed. What do you feel? A lot of people are like, I don't care, or I'm happy about it. And I think they're taught based on their media ecosystem to hate him just because.
Which I just will say, and I don't know if we're playing clips of this or not. I don't know if you have clips, but people celebrating this, they disgust me. They absolutely disgust me. I think that's despicable. The people that are making these dance videos on TikTok and they're celebrating, this is disgusting. You might not like Charlie Kirk, but Charlie Kirk was not just a movement for the right. That is what he is being labeled. He was also a movement for the left. Harry Sisson, Dean Withers, Parker Get a Job, all of these kids on TikTok, they copied Charlie and Charlie's platform to have open debate.
Yeah.
Parker was there in Utah to debate Charlie. He was having a side debate while that was going on. He is out here, and I have to respect him for saying, if you're in the comments and you're saying you're happy about this, unsubscribe, unfollow me. I do not condone that. He was a father. He was, you know, he was a husband. He was a person. Charlie Kirk started a movement of having debate again with people that you don't agree with. And that is very important. And that is also a cornerstone and a foundation of what this country was founded on. That if you disagree with someone, you are allowed and you have the privilege to have a different conversation. And you and I have had those conversations.
I mean, that's why we built this show, right? I get comments from my audience saying, hey, why am I even speaking to you? Like, what are you doing? And I said, this is what America is. I don't want to create another
echo
bubble.
Chamber.
Yeah, another echo chamber, another bubble. What's good? What good will come out of that?
Yeah, and we agree on a lot of things, but we disagree on things. But that's okay. That's good. Because if we have those conversations, I think there's been times, right, where I listen to you and I'm like, huh. I go home and I think, you know what? I'm going to look more into that and it changes my opinion. I think there's times where I've brought information about a WEF bioethicist talking about 10 years ago how they want to take the Lone Star tick and make people allergic to meat and dairy, where you go, holy fuck, this conspiracy theorist is right.
Yeah.
This is too weird, you know? And I think that that is why conversation is so important. And so to say that Charlie Kirk was just a right-winged activist is incorrect.
Or misogynist or all these things. I mean, he was, you know, a father. He was married. You know, I think there's a lot of these terms are just thrown onto people to incite like a reaction to say, hey, we should write this person off. And I think that's really bad. And to the credit of some of these guys that you mentioned, I mean, Dean was made fun of yesterday for crying. I mean, I think he was very upset about what happened, you know? And people were saying, what are you crying about? Like, this guy was a bigot. Like, you know, we're better off. And this is like, I said this a little bit earlier, but I'm not going to be out here tone policing people and saying, hey, you're not allowed to feel that way. You're allowed to feel however you want to feel, right? Based on your experience, upbringing, your ideology, you know, because I had to reflect on myself earlier that, oh, maybe, you know, I didn't feel that bad for Brian Thompson, the United Healthcare CEO. And why is that? And so everybody has these feelings. But once again, I have to reiterate that if you start to justify people dying and people getting killed, then this is going to just lead to more violence. You can't, as like a person, so especially if you're, you know, one of those pro-Palestinian people, right? I mean, you can't just go and say, hey, the world would be better off without this guy, because that's what they're saying about Palestinians. They would be better off without these people here.
Yeah, and I
how do people not see the incongruence in that?
Right.
Morality, right? That's
and the hypocrisy.
Exactly.
And I told you, you know, that my best friend yesterday said, you know, I think some of these people that are reacting, celebrating, might be the way her and I would feel about if Dr. Anthony Fauci was killed.
Mm.
Okay. And a lot of people might have a reaction to that listening to me say that. I am not a fan of Dr. Anthony Fauci, right? I really truly believe that Dr. Anthony Fauci is evil. And I sat with that. I sat with that and I thought, you know what? This is actually, I'm so happy that she said that, because it's a reminder that I will never celebrate anybody's death, right? That is not, I don't want violence of any kind. I just don't. But I will say that, yes, you're saying you're not going to, you know, tone police or, you know, anything like that. That's fine. I'm also going to voice my opinion and say that I feel that people are online making videos celebrating that he was shot before they even know if he's going to live or die. I also think that those people are seriously lacking empathy and compassion. And they're missing the whole point. And, you know, I could go as far as saying I think those people are on Team Evil. So I'm also going to voice my opinions. I'm not going to tone police you, but I'm also going to sit here and say, I think that's sick.
I just want people to reflect on, hey, if you're out there saying these things, what's to stop another person from dehumanizing you or somebody that you admire or are inspired by? Like, what if somebody goes out there and kills Mamdani tomorrow and the right starts celebrating and saying, yes, this is great. Like, how would you feel in that situation? Would you feel that that's justified
based on his
political beliefs?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I do not condone any violence. And I think that it doesn't matter, right? Like, you know, Fauci's kind of an outlier character, right? It's just someone that I really don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring that person up and you think, oh, you know, would I feel this way? But yeah, I this country was founded on freedom of speech. And so the fact that we are celebrating anybody being silenced is against what this country is founded on. I think that's super, super wrong.
Especially as a media figure. Charlie Kirk is not out there like Netanyahu pushing buttons, killing people.
He didn't do harm to anybody.
Other than maybe hurting people's feelings.
But I'm sorry,
so
like,
that's,
you
that
know?
To me is not, like, because there are some people who say, hey, if you're out there actively killing somebody, you know, that you're in a war situation, right? Netanyahu's, he's a commander of his army, basically, right? The United States is the commander-in-chief of the U.S. military. He's the same for Israel. And so if somebody takes out Netanyahu, that's just an act of war. You could make that argument. But Charlie Kirk is not that figure. Charlie Kirk was out there. And there's a clip that I saw yesterday that I didn't say, but I should have. But it was him basically talking to, you know, people on the left. The person he was talking to looked like, you know, purple hair, this kind of thing. And he's like, hey, I'm here to have a conversation with you guys because I think this is what America needs more of. It's like we should be out here sitting down with people we disagree with and hash it out.
100%. And that's what I was kind of trying to get out at the beginning. And, you know, this is brand new and we're being courageous and doing our best to talk about this. And I might get things wrong and people might say, how dare she say that? And that's fine. I'm not going to get it right. I'm not somebody who thinks that I have all the I don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
I'm learning with everybody else. But I really do believe that when you sit down with people that have totally different beliefs than you, at the end of the day, everybody wants the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, they want their family to be okay and they want peace. They want clean water, clean food. I've said it over and over, right? And so I think we need to remember that, you know, that you're villainizing someone who at the end of the day said he wants to be remembered, not for his political movement, but for being a man of God. For being a man of faith who cares about his family first and foremost. And he said that in many interviews.
Yeah. And everybody needs to do a reflection, because I think this happens on both sides. Like I guarantee you, if somebody prominent on the left gets killed, there will be people on the right celebrating it. Like, it's nothing.
Yeah, I really hope that everybody learns from this and doesn't go down that road.
And that's what we're, I mean, that's what we're building the show all about. This is what our show is all about, is calling out the people who are inside. I mean, Elon Musk, as the founder of X, or not the founder, sorry, the CEO of X with the most amount of reach on there, tweeting out things like, oh, this is war and we need to.
And, you know, you have David Icke, somebody who has, you know, spoken out about the global elites time and time again. And he has responded to many of these tweets saying, this is the script, right? So if you are somebody that believes that there is a group of global elites that want to run the world and control your population, this is the script. They want to divide and conquer. They want you to be hating your neighbor so that they can easily manipulate and control you to get their agenda pushed through. Do not be so naive. If you are going to take this to just push your political narrative, I'm sorry, but you are level one intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
It is deeper than that.
Yeah. And that's, and I always give a lot of credit to the United States because people, you know, talk to me about racism and this kind of thing. And I said, have you been to other countries? Like, we're doing the best we can. I mean, like, we're the most powerful country in the world. We have a lot of flaws. We have a lot of diversity. This creates this natural chaos. It creates this tension that other countries don't have to deal with. But if you go to other countries, like, you know, I travel all throughout Europe and Asia, a lot more races over there. They just have
a lot more racist.
Yes. Europe is like 10, 20 times more racist, in my opinion, than the US. They just don't have to deal with it because they don't have as bad of this kind of issue of diversity. They don't, most of those countries are very homogenous, right? If you exclude like the UK and France, very homogenous, right? If you go to like Slovenia, there's just Slovenians. You know, there's not this issue to deal with. So I think you have to give America a lot of credit to the people. And I just want to encourage more and more people to hopefully wake up and say, hey, there is a plan to divide us. It's working. And we need to wake up to that.
100%. We need to wake up to that and we need to come together. And, you know, it really makes me sick. People on both sides immediately after, like they're not even giving it a day to push their political agenda.
They're not even waiting for the guy to be caught yet.
I mean, this is AOC being asked about it immediately after. Listen to this.
What has just transpired is tremendously disturbing. It is the latest evolution and instance of political violence in the United States, and it must end.
Congresswoman, what message do you have to your fellow lawmakers regarding the political environment? What message do you have to your fellow lawmakers regarding the political environment and the rhetoric that has been put out in the media?
You know, beyond rhetoric, we need to talk about action, and we need to talk about, yes, there are words, but most importantly, we are in a job of leadership. We are in a job of action. We are in a role and a position where the American people are looking to us to do something about this. And every single day, people are dying due to gun violence in America. And every single day, there are people in this building that continue to vote against doing anything. They vote against universal background checks.
I listened to this and I just thought, shut the fuck up. Okay, because here you are. Yes, we do have a gun violence problem in this country, and I'm not avoiding that. But here you are casting your vote to continue to fund wars and foreign aid to Israel where they are dropping bombs on people. But yet you want to say that, you know, blame the other side or this and that about gun violence. You're a part of the problem.
I think the first part of the response I liked, right? She was toning down, hey, this is not acceptable. So that part is good. The gun issue is a thing.
100%.
The gun issue is a thing, and we need to talk about the root cause. Is it guns, or is it like a mental health and spiritual crisis?
Yeah, I mean, I told you that yesterday. I said, I think that we have a serious mental health epidemic in this country. But this specific shooting, no matter what the media comes out and tells you that it's a trans person or this and that, this was a professional hit.
Yeah, the gun control laws were not going to stop this one.
No, the gun control laws were not going to stop this one. Yeah. So I just find it ironic that a lot of people, this is moments after Charlie Kirk was pronounced dead. You know, to me, from leaders, I would want this to wait to day two or three to start pushing your agenda. I would respect leaders much more if they said, you know what, we lost an American today that was trying to uphold the values of this country, whether I agreed with it or not, someone who was an advocate for freedom of speech. And before we get into the details of gun laws or anything else, I just want to respect the family and just say I feel so horrible and sickened by the atrocity that took place today in Utah.
Mm-hmm. But I think, let's have a gun conversation. Let's say this was not a professional hit. This was some, like they tell us, right? This is some lunatic trans person getting a gun, taking out somebody that they didn't like. Now, Charlie has been out there very openly saying that, here, I'll play this clip, but he's basically openly saying, hey, we have the Second Amendment here, and that is more important than stopping some of these deaths, right? We're going to have some gun. With guns, we're going to have a few gun deaths, but it's worth it, right? Have you seen that clip?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, let's play it real quick.
I think it's worth it. I think it's worth to have a cost of, unfortunately, some gun deaths every single year so that we can have the Second Amendment to protect our other God-given rights. That is a prudent deal.
Okay, so a lot of people are roasting him for this, right? Because they're saying, was it worth it? And I've, you know, people, like I said, are allowed to say whatever they want to say, but let's have this conversation for reals. Is that a trade-off maybe that we should just acknowledge? It's like, hey, there's so many great things about America. We have so much freedom here, but with that freedom comes some risk. And we should take the good with the bad.
I think that when we have a diabetes epidemic in this country, Ozempic is not the problem. I think you need to look at the root cause. Mm. And I think that when you look at the root cause, we have a mental illness epidemic in this country. And I also think that because of that, it is not crazy to say that it would not be a bad thing to implement some stricter backgrounds about how you can get guns. Like if you are somebody who has a recorded mental illness, mm-hmm. maybe it's not right or a good thing for you to own a gun, right? It's a privilege that this country allows you to own a gun that many other countries do not allow. And I definitely do not want to get rid of the Second Amendment. Absolutely not. But we do have a mental health epidemic, and a lot of people that do a lot of these school shootings, for example, if you notice, are on some sort of an SSRI, antidepressant, anti-anxiety, some sort of medication. This country is dealing with a health epidemic, is dealing with a mental health epidemic. We have more people on anti-anxiety and antidepressant medications than any other country per capita in the world. You have 1 in 4 women that are on anti-anxiety or antidepressants. You have half of this country obese. You have diabetes, you have pancreatitis, you have so many conditions, autoimmune conditions, chronic illness at an all-time rise. And so, yeah, I think that we do need to get to the root issue and make sure that healthy people are granted the privilege of the Second Amendment.
Yeah, I mean, I am not a gun person, just like it doesn't interest me. Mm-hmm. But I, over the years, I've gone from like saying, hey, we should have, relatively few guns to like, I'm okay with guns. I think this is a part of this country. It's a part of the fabric of America. And we should embrace that either through more just education on guns and things like that. But I think one of the biggest problems that you just pointed out is that none of the leaders that we have actually care about the health and well-being of citizens as a whole. What they do care about is the health and well-being of corporations,
right?
To help them make more money. All the lobbyists like in Congress, like when is the last time you remember a bill that was passed on behalf of protecting the American people, either through giving them more opportunity or, something about actually building better infrastructure, parks, roads, bridges, hospitals, schools that everybody agrees with? Like, hey, if you ask, hey, should we have better hospitals? Should we have better healthcare? Should we have better education? Should we have more access to clean water, clean food? Everybody would say yes, but we're only passing things that don't make any sense. Like the other day, this is completely a non sequitur, but The other day I saw that they passed a law to remove protections from airlines that have canceled flights.
I saw that.
And I'm like, who asked for that other than the airline, right? It's like, oh, now airlines don't have to compensate a passenger for canceling their flight or if there's some massive flight disruption, which they have in Europe, by the way, right? If your flight gets disrupted by more than 3 hours, it's 600 euros. Boom. Here, we don't have such protections for passengers that are inconvenient. And so sometimes airlines can do whatever they want. It's like, but who wants that law?
Well, I want it if it means that they're not going to fly a Boeing 737 that's going to end up losing a wing. But other than that, I agree with
right?
you.
Right. I mean, that's just a blatant example of like no American citizen asked for that to be passed. It's only the airline lobbyists that wanted that.
Right.
Right. No American citizen says, oh, yes, Boeing should self-certify their airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
And the FAA should just take their word for it that it's good to go.
Yeah.
Right. Those are just laws made on behalf of corporations to maximize their profit. Like nobody wants there to be a liability shield for pesticide manufacturers.
Right. Ridiculous.
Right. The only people asking for that is industry.
Or vaccine liability shields. Absolutely wrong. And, you know, we've said this before. If your products are so safe, then why do you need legal liability?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make sense. So then you have to really point the finger. If you wanted to point the finger, it's people in Congress who don't pass anything on behalf of the American people are out there actively, you know, doing things for corporations that are making people sicker.
Yes. And that was kind of my point with AOC is like, I understand that, you know, we have too many gun violence incidents in this country, right?
Yeah.
I also find it hypocritical that you are funding the manufacturing and the, you know, and you're funding war.
Right.
But you're so concerned about this one issue, right? It's just, you're just.
That's a partisan thing.
Yes. And the other thing is like fentanyl is illegal in this country. But half of our country's dying from a fentanyl overdose. So look, at the end of the day, you can do whatever you want. This idea that we just wouldn't have guns, they're going to get smuggled across the border. I don't care if it's automatic weapons or whatever it is. People will build them and they will have them.
Right. You have to create the conditions. Yeah, you can have a police state, right? You can say, hey, we're going to put a military officer on every street corner to monitor you. We're going to have cameras everywhere, similar to the way China does it, right? Although I would argue that China also, the government does give more to the people. They have free healthcare there. They have a robust public infrastructure, but they do have a police state as well. You can't argue against that and say, hey, you can have a police state and maybe eliminate some of this crime from happening. But is that trade-off better or worse than saying, hey, we should create policies that disincentivize people from going out and shooting up a school? Because yesterday, there was a massive school shooting in Colorado that nobody, you know, obviously talked about because Charlie Kirk was assassinated. But like those things are so common. And it's like, how do we not have people? Like you said, like if somebody wants to get a gun, they'll find a way to get a gun and they'll kill some people. If somebody wants to find drugs, there's going to be the cartel people to smuggle drugs into, right? But it's like you want to create a world where maybe I don't need that. I can do other things.
Right. It's similar to what that clip I played of Charlie Kirk on Tucker Carlson, where, you know, you're going to get political radicalization. You're also going to get more violence if people are unhappy. They feel like they can't get ahead. Yeah.
They feel like the system is rigged. That's what's happening right now is everybody feels that the system is rigged.
Yeah.
And when you feel that the system is rigged, then you're going to do some things that are outside the system. You're going to do vigilante justice, right?
Yeah.
Because you feel like, oh, the police is not protecting me. So I'm going to go out and do my own justice.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Even so, like, even for the Luigi issue, like, even though I didn't feel that bad, I was not one of the people who would go out and say, hey, I support, you know, people getting shot up in the streets. Because that's only going to create more violence everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's like, I don't know if and when this is going to happen. But I think we have to really reconcile, like, hey, the amount of the lobbying in Congress and the representation is just not there. And you're creating this feeling that everything is stacked against you, even though you would argue, hey, we're still better off here as Americans than some other third world country. Like our conditions are materially better. But I don't think people in terms of like the psychology behind it, if you haven't experienced like living in Gaza, then you're not going to really understand that. You're going to be like, oh, my life is much better than that. It's, people only know their own situation, and it feels like everything is rigged, right, on both sides.
Yeah.
So when that happens, people are like, fine, let's just fucking tear it down. Let's burn it down.
Right. And they don't realize that unity is the answer, right? They don't see that the playbook is to create division. They just don't see it. And if they did, we actually could take the power back. And I'm not just talking about the United States. I'm talking about for the global population.
Yeah.
If we were to all just love our neighbor and, you know, say, hey, I don't agree with this, but at the end of the day, I know you care about your family. I care about my family. Let's have a commonality there. And we could unite together to push the things that really matter forward. We will get a better world.
Yeah.
We will get less war. We could overtake this evil that has infiltrated democracies around the world.
Yeah. And if you want to change somebody's mind, then just have a, let's have a public debate about it. Right. Because
well,
I think
I don't know that people are going to want to do that anymore.
Well, yeah. But we're going to hopefully.
And that's part of the problem that is, with this whole thing.
That is because,
right?
Yeah. You know, for example, Ben Shapiro has canceled his tour, which I don't blame him for, even though I disagree with everything he says. Basically, I think he should still be allowed on college campuses to have a discussion. And that's what we need more of is this kind of
discourse. Was that part of the plan?
I think so.
Whatever hit this was, don't feel safe having these conversations on college campuses. You know, don't feel safe being in public, spreading your message.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can even, I will even acknowledge that Charlie Kirk, like I said, is a culture warrior in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. But he was trying to convince people of his personal ideology through discourse, not through force, right? Through discourse to say, hey, you believe something different. I believe this. Let me try to convince you why, you know, religion is good, or why, you know, having babies is good, or whatever he's talking about, or even when the racial stuff, to say, hey, we should acknowledge there's some crime happening disproportionately among some portions of the population. But he was doing that through discourse versus like, hey, we should have a police state and we should just, you know.
And anybody could go up and debate him. Anybody was allowed to.
I have heard that not anybody is allowed to go up to like people like Parker, who would do a good job debating him. He doesn't want that.
Well, he did debate him.
Did he debate him?
Many times. And, you know, that is actually how Parker got his following.
Okay. Oh, so he went through a Charlie. Because I have heard from...
Me and Parker are friends on TikTok. Yeah. And Parker jumped up hundreds of thousands of followers last year. And I said, what happened? He said, I debated Charlie Kirk. Mm. And so what happened was then Parker started going to every single college campus that Charlie Kirk went to and would try to get in line. And Charlie's like, look, I debated you three times.
Okay.
I'm in debating other people now.
Okay.
You
got
know,
because
it was kind of like on the tail of Charlie Kirk.
Okay. So he did go up a couple times.
He did. Many.
Okay. So Charlie's like, let's get somebody new.
Let's get some new people. This is not the Charlie Parker show, which I get, you know. And now Parker's doing those debates.
He's on like Jubilee a lot, I think, right?
Yeah, he, that was my point that I was making is that Charlie started this, I'm trying to think of the word, but this environment where people on the right and the left would host public debates. That was Charlie Kirk's business. He founded that.
And that's why I think back to the point of like the what and the why, right? The who, what, why.
Yes.
This is the person you would take out, the person who is advocating for debate and free speech. This is who you would want to silence.
That threatens, you know, future presidential candidates.
Right. I mean, you can make an argument. He has the power, if he wants to dethrone J.D. Smith or J.D. Vance.
Yeah. I said that to you yesterday. I feel that, you know, Charlie Kirk is someone who has the vote of the youth. And we know that...
And he has a ground game, right? He actually has an infrastructure that allows, or that can turn out the vote. It's not just an online social media person.
Yes.
He has the infrastructure to actually go and get ballots, get people to the polls.
I think Charlie Kirk was a threat to the establishment in many ways. And one of those ways is that he was not a college graduate. yet he was going to the college campuses to say you can be smart without a college education, mm-hmm. which goes against what the government tells you you need to do, right? Mm-hmm. Get in debt, getting a college education. And Charlie Kirk was saying, why would you do that? You yeah. can start a business without. I think that even in itself is a threat to the narrative.
Yeah. And that's what you find with a lot of these people who, like you mentioned, have gotten assassinated, high profile people like JFK, RFK, MLK.
Yeah.
Are people who have built up power and can basically upend the establishment order if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And he's certainly one of those figures if he wanted to. And he over the last 6 months, have shown signs that he's like, hey, maybe the current order, the current establishment isn't good for everybody.
And he also was super public about his faith mm-hmm. and the fact that he's a man of God and that he's a Christian and he believes in Christian values.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, we talk a lot about different religions and, you know, different groups of people being, you know, targeted. There was a shooting at a Catholic school. Charlie Kirk, one of the leaders of, you know, the young Christian movement, assassinated. That's also an act of evil, right?
Yeah.
Take out these voices that are going to speak and say, I love Jesus. I love God. Love thy neighbor. Right? Turn the other cheek. Do not return evil with evil. And he was so well-versed in scripture.
Right.
And he was able to debate people that were saying there's no such thing as religion. And I think that is also a threat, right? Because when people are disconnected from the source, whatever you believe that is, when people have a set of standards, whether that's through the Quran or the Bible or the Torah, there's a lot of shared sentiment in there, right? Mm-hmm. Do not murder, do not steal, do not cheat. And so when people are, not all people, but when people are disconnected from faith, I think you can get a lot of lost souls in the world.
Yeah. And I don't want to necessarily, I mean, just to counter everything, I don't necessarily want to lionize, you know, Charlie after his death. Because I think in a lot of ways, some of the stuff, I mean, most of the stuff that he said, I didn't really agree with, especially on the yeah. culture stuff, right? That's not really my take on things, right? I try to look at things from a non-racial lens. Like, for example, the terrible stabbing in Charlotte, you know, the metro, right?
Yes.
I don't look at that as like black crime. I look at that as just crime. Like, no matter what color he was, he shouldn't have been let out of, you know, I think he was like arrested 14 times. And
right.
And now he's free to roam about. That is a failure of the justice system, mm-hmm. no matter what race you are. And I think Charlie, because of the ecosystem that he was still in, right, he has to do some things to make it about race. And I think that upsets a lot of people. But I think hopefully we can come out of this and saying, hey, there's, you know, we're not, nobody's safe unless everybody's safe. Right? It doesn't matter. You could be the most well-off person, but you could be targeted tomorrow.
100%.
Right? So that's why we should never condone. You should never celebrate this kind of violence, because that'll just spark, hey, maybe we'll go after another guy and kill him.
It's always just gonna escalate. In the fact that people are being taken out by whoever.
Yeah, by whoever.
For their opinions is really, really tragic.
Yeah, for their opinions. I can understand people like, hey, I didn't agree with anything he said, so if he's gone now, it's no loss to me. That's fine, but that's very different from going out and saying, I saw a clip that somebody said, yeah, I would have killed him myself.
There's a lot of, like I said, disgusting people, and it's videos like that.
And they're people who are out there saying, oh, we need human rights, we need to protect everybody, you know, there are these, that's the...
Well, yeah, this is the problem, and why it's easy for people to paint people on the left in a negative light, right, is that they say they're the party of peace. They want gun laws. They don't want gun laws. And then you have these, you know, people that are shooting people up with guns.
Yeah.
And then they're celebrating it. So there's a lot of people that feel, you know, that gives them a reason to say and point the finger.
Yeah.
You know?
So it's either you're violent or you're nonviolent. Either you are for human rights or you're not. It can't be human rights for the people I agree with If I don't agree with you,
yeah,
don't
and that's
care.
Why I really respect like the I call them the boy band on TikTok, but the Parker and the Deans out there, because they said like, if you're condoning this, unfollow me. And that's what everybody needs to realize, is that it doesn't matter your political affiliation. It doesn't matter your race, your religion, your gender. There are good people a part of all of those different groups. And this is a spiritual war. This is good versus evil. And evil wants you divided. Evil yeah. wants chaos. And you need to be on the side of good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Especially on a day like 9/11, where we saw probably one of the most horrific acts of evil.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I remember it so vividly, even though I was like a very young girl.
I was in seventh grade. I remember
yeah.
that morning. I mean, I was old enough to know what was going on.
Yeah, I think I was also in seventh grade. And then, you know, I don't know how your parents were, but mine like brought me down to see the second, I saw the second plane hit the tower.
You did. No, I was, by the time I think I had woken up, I mean, because I was in the West Coast. So by the time I woke up or something, it was already.
The first plane had hit. I was the West
it
Coast.
It was like,
too.
Wasn't it 8 o'clock or something? 8:40? Yeah.
So as soon as the first plane hit, my stepdad was like, you're not going to school. You're watching this. Like, this is the education.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, this never happens. I probably was too young, but, and you know, you're watching people jump out of the buildings
yeah.
and die. It makes me so sad. And I just remember like, I didn't really understand what was going on, but I did. And the next morning on September 12th, my alarm clock, my clock radio, you know, that was the thing. Nobody had cell phones. Went off and it played the national anthem. And I remember I started crying. I was just so sad for the country. And I just knew that evil had been, you know,
yeah,
committed against all of these innocent people. And that's really my hope.
And that's what I think we need the truth, right? It's now, we were talking to Jimmy Dore, which by the way, we were going to release that episode today,
yeah.
but we felt it was not really that appropriate to do. And we you know, want to do a different show. So that episode is coming, but we talked to him. It's like, he made a great point. It's like, how could you make like finding the truth about 9/11 a bad thing?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't we want to know the truth
and
about
what happened? And I think we're still searching for the truth. But I think that 9/11 is a day where this country does and has historically come together, right?
And today,
and if you remember September 12th, 2001, everybody was united,
mm-hmm.
right? And if we could just all kind of take a page out of that book over the Charlie Kirk thing and say, like, we stand with good and we're not going to tolerate, no matter what political affiliation we have, we're not going to stand for political assassinations or gun violence or assassinations of any kind. We're against this. I think that would be really healing for this country. And I also, on that note, do find it very odd that on a day that the United States does typically come together, you know, an event like Charlie Kirk has happened, and that might not be the case today, which is really, really sad.
It's tragic, and not only tragic, but also that then leads to what we were talking about before. It's like, whoever perpetrated this.
It's
to create division
on
yes. this specific day, right? Because what we're not talking about today is 9/11, people coming together, unity,
right.
trying to figure out the truth of that. We're all here trying to figure out, oh, was it a trans shooter? Was it the left, the radical left? Was it so-and-so? And now everybody is divided again.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, we just need to be, for me, I want my voice to try to unite people and bring people together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been dragged from this podcast. People are not happy with certain things that I say. I'm human and I'm not perfect and I don't have all the answers, but I'm doing my best. And at the end of the day, I want to be on the side of good. And that's all I can really say. And I am so sorry for Charlie's family and all of the people that are feeling so sad and angry today. And I just pray for peace. I pray for peace in the world. And I pray for healing in this country. I really, really do. Because this is it is a scary time when you have very prominent figures using this to either further their political agenda or cause division in this country. That is not okay. And that's not what should be happening.
No. And that's why I am so passionate about building this podcast, this platform, outside of like, yes, I already, you know, have a really large platform outside of this, but it's just me talking and people, I think, get the wrong idea about what I'm actually for, which is conversation, which is openness to new ideas and talking to people we disagree with, being able to think independently. That's why, you know, we've all, in our trailer, right, we said, hey, this is a Purple podcast where we're going to talk about issues that are difficult, right? And it's going to burst your bubble. You're going to get upset. But hopefully that upset then can be channeled into like productivity and solutions versus
yeah, and
just
honestly,
hating each other.
After yesterday, I was kind of like, do I want to do this?
Mm.
I really was.
Yeah.
Because I also have very large platforms and, you know, I really didn't get dragged till this podcast. Right? I had the followers where what I would say, people loved it and they got in line and, you know, that was that. And obviously, you know, people talking about their different political beliefs mm-hmm. are now being assassinated, which is scary too. And so I'm ultimately just going to try to do my best and speak as freely as I can and just speak my truth and be as honest as possible and also learn. I'm not always right. I do learn from you. I learn from guests that we have on and my opinion's allowed to change. And I want that for everybody. Like yeah. this life that we all have, we're all here for a reason. And part of our journey is the evolution of hearing other people's opinions and changing your mind and saying, you know, I was wrong on this issue or I was, you know, I believe this or I believe that. It's a journey. And so I just urge everybody to like give a little grace to people that they don't agree with and try to learn from people that you disagree with and evolve and be a better person,
yeah.
a better neighbor.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would implore people to join us in this mission, right? I think it's a lot easier to build a show that is partisan, which is shown, right? Almost every single show has a partisan lean to it.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to be in the middle because you have to then have these uncomfortable conversations that, you know, make everybody like a little bit jittery and just like, ugh, icky, right?
Right.
And that's what we're here for. I think we're, you know, hopefully this is the direction I'm hoping that people will go, right?
Yeah,
say, hey,
also,
we need to get rid of that
bullshit. We don't want to allow the evil that took out Charlie yeah. Kirk to silence everybody else out of
right.
fear
yeah.
that that's going to happen to them. So
absolutely.
Am I going to be on a college campus? Fuck no. But like, you know, I think it's important that we don't let this act of evil silence different voices because I think that is ultimately what they want, whoever they is.
Amen. And thank you for the supporters of the show, the Patreon.
Yes.
Hopefully you're enjoying the Jimmy Dore episode that is already on there. We thank you to the founding fathers and for everybody, you know, that's maybe hearing this for the first time, please join us. Subscribe.
Yes. And let us know what you think about all of this down below.